earlier this summer, Joe put together a piece titled Biting the Dust, A Long Goodbye to Mount Pleasant Meadows. And you can go back and Google it. It's on the Pollock Report now. It was published on July 22nd of last year. And that is now an Eclipse Award-winning feature. And congratulations to Joe Nevels for that honor. Joe, good morning, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Glad to be here. Man, where did you find that clip? That's a throwback.
I started Googling. I wanted to come up with something to welcome you to the program, something Mount Pleasant Meadows related. And I started Googling race calls at Mount Pleasant Meadows, and that was the only piece that I could find. and I'm thankful that you put that together all those years ago.
Yeah, that was Scott Cerniak, who I actually wrote about in the story that won the Eclipse Award. The man did everything. He was the announcer. He was the bartender. He bought programs from him, marketing director, janitor. He'd even punch your tickets on a slow day. And assistant racing secretary. You had to do everything there.
Yeah, I said this at the top of the show. The piece, the article that you wrote was so good. It struck a chord for me personally, and I think it did for so many racing fans that have ever fallen in love with a racetrack that is no longer there. And correct me if I'm wrong, was that kind of the crux and the inspiration for you putting this together?
Yeah, it's something that, the story honestly took me probably about 5 years to put together from first thoughts to hitting send on it, just because, I knew that I wanted to write something about Mount Pleasant Meadows when it closed, because, the demand for writing about horses, the demand for writing about horse racing in Michigan is so low that it's, if someone's going to do something long, it's pretty much got to be me. And I knew that I was only going to get one shot at this, and I needed to make it count. So it's something that I've been trying to piece together for a long, long time, and get the right people to talk to, get the people that I associated with most with the track, who are the three people I talked to for the story, and try to stick the landing, because I was only going to get one shot at this thing.
Michigan racetracks have been closing for a very long time, and you're a Michigan native. Why was Mount Pleasant Meadows the one that was so personal for you?
Well, there are two reasons. One is it was the closest track to me. I grew up in a town called Edmore, Michigan, about 35 minutes from Mount Pleasant. So usually the thoroughbred outposts were either in Detroit or the Detroit area, or in Muskegon, which is on the coast of Lake Michigan. So this was kind of my local option. If I just wanted to go play the simulcast or, just go watch live racing without having to take up most of my day, Mount Pleasant Meadows was my option. And, the other one was that it was just a very accepting community. It's where my grandpa taught me to, read the races and learn the races. And, it was small enough that you got to know everybody because you had to, because, I used to have a joke on Twitter that I could go around and high five everyone on the track grounds if I hit a good ticket. And so you had to figure out who everybody was. You got to know everybody, and that's something that stuck with me for years after the track was closed.
When you stand there and you look out at what is the old Mount Pleasant Meadows location, what are some of the things that immediately hit you?
I mean, you think about some of the people and horses that were out there competing. Mount Pleasant was a place where, there weren't a whole lot of professional jockeys, professional trainers, in the sense that this was their job and this was their ways to make a living. A lot of them were a lot of the jockeys were factory workers, or they worked as mechanics, or had, concrete businesses, what have you. A lot of the trainers, this was something that, they ran their horses on the weekends here, and if they had a good one, they'd go to, Pinnacle Race Course or Great Lakes Downs and try it there. But like, this was, this was the base for them. So I think of those people, and it was, such a small core. The same jockeys are, the same group of 8-10 jockeys are riding every race. The same group of, 20 or so trainers are sending every horse through everything. So I think of that, and I think of the sounds. You played the clip of Scott announcing the races earlier. I think of all the different announcers that they had. I think of, very specific people in the crowd yelling, because, you get into a crowd, people have very distinctive voices, especially when they're being very loud, and you think of, I think that's the certain jockey's wife, and that's, certain fan who just lost her, lost a bet or something. And just, you think of the sights and sounds, and, for me, I think of the smells. There's something that I wrote about in the story, how, the track had a very particular smell when it was going. I believe I said it was plastic seats in the sun, cigarettes in the open air and the stuff you'd find under a trainer's boot. And it's just, you know, it's something very particular to the track that I always associated with it. Whether it was actually a good smell or not is to be determined, but I knew where I was when I was there. And that was something that, you know, it's association, you know, that I'm at a place I like and things are going to be all right.
There are a few individuals that you spend time talking with in this article, and trainer Nate Funnell is one, jockey Lee Gates is another. Now, many people, when I say those names, are not going to have any clue who we're talking about. So tell me a little bit more about those guys.
So Nate Funnell, he was born in Colorado, moved to Michigan when he was teen, and he came up under a trainer named Tony Cunningham, who is a quarter horse trainer who's actually gone on to do very well in Indiana. I think he's been a meet leading trainer there several times. And he went out on his own in the last few years of the track and did pretty well for himself, both in the quarter horses and thoroughbreds and Arabians. Mount Pleasant had races for all sorts of different breeds. They also ran paints there too. And, you know, Nate was just a very, I don't know, he was a life of the party kind of guy. When, you know, you go over to the track simulcast, you have the bar in there as well. He'd always be at the bar, you know, cracking wise with people, making jokes, and just kind of, you know, he'd be the loudest voice in the room, and, you know, he'd do the same out on the racetrack. He's the one that I would always associate with being somebody who would almost be like a wrestling villain to the crowd and just sort of like, you know, jaw-jacking with people, you know, like, oh, we got the horse that's going to beat the favorite right here. I've got the Ozzy. There's a horse named Ozzy. You can do it. He'd always say, oh, I've got the Ozzy killer right here. And, you know, he was a big character. He was a big character at a small track, and that really stood out. For Lee Gates, Lee rode for his parents primarily, Dave and Shirley Gates. They rode on his parents would run on the fair circuit before Mount Pleasant Meadows opened, and Lee had a rider's build, so he was the one that got thrown up on the horses when he was, you know, in his teens, and that just sort of became his thing after that. He spent the weeks working at a factory nearby, and the entire family lives on basically the same stretch of road around Blanchard, Michigan, and would ride up on the weekends. Something that's kind of interesting about the Mount Pleasant riding contingent is that the races would go very quickly on Saturdays and Sundays. They'd start at 1 and they'd be done by about 4. So everybody would ride their cards there, and then a group of them would get in a car together and drive down to Indiana Downs, which is a good 5-hour drive at least from Mount Pleasant. And they would ride the quarter horse card there because it would always be the last 2 or 3 races on a night card. So they'd leave Mount Pleasant at about 4, drive down to Indiana Downs and ride the quarter horse races there at, you know, what, 10 o'clock at night, then turn around and come back and ride the Sunday races at Mount Pleasant. So, you know, these aren't people who made their living doing this, but it was a hard living doing it to do it all as they needed to.
Talking with Eclipse Award winner Joe Nevels from the Pollock Report here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Joe, that has a pretty nice ring to it, doesn't it?
It's something that I'm still kind of freaking out about, but I'm really glad that I've got that title there. It's really exciting.
All right, let me ask you this question. So, yes. Of course, as you know, HRN won the Eclipse Award in the audio multimedia internet category this year. We were given 30 seconds to record an acceptance speech. Did you keep it to 30 seconds?
I still haven't shot mine yet. Judy Hieronymus with Keeneland is the person putting that all together, and we're going to shoot it during the January sale. I'm going to be out there anyway. I covered, you know, the bloodstock editor for the Pollock Report, so I'm definitely going to be out to the sale. So I think we're going to knock that out during the sale.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's a challenge. If you can do it, I'll be impressed.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're hearing how wordy I am with everything just over this conversation. This is going to take some serious editing.
I'm a radio guy. I talk for a living. I have to talk for 2 hours every Saturday morning. I had to cut it down to 30 seconds.
Oh, boy. Okay, this is good to know. This is, you know, this is how we learn things. This is how we prepare. So I appreciate the insight on that.
How'd you receive the news that you won the Eclipse Award?
So Jim Gluckson with the Breeders' Cup called me on the morning of Christmas Eve and told me, you know, I'd won, congratulations, gave me all the information on, you know, what we need to put the press release together and everything. And at the end of it, he said, and you can't tell anyone besides basically your immediate family and your boss. So I have this fantastic news, something that I've been working for basically since I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I couldn't tell anybody. I called my mom, of course. I called, you know, I called Ray. You know, I told my wife, my mother-in-law. I was staying in Virginia, and we were all very excited. And then that was kind of all I could do until It was a day or two after Christmas, so I had to sit on this for a while. So I've got all of this pent-up, like, jubilation and nothing to do with it. I went outside and had one of the best runs that I've ever had. I just found the energy to keep going, and I slept like a very sore baby that night afterward.
Wow, that's completely different than my experience. I promise you, I didn't run a step after I got the news. I didn't even think about going for a run.
Well,
you're a better man than me, Joe Neville.
Everybody celebrates this in different ways.
You know, outside of that tremendous honor, and let's face it, the Eclipse Award is a phenomenal, humbling honor. What else, when you think back on this article and everything you were able to accomplish in telling the story, what are you most proud of?
I mean, a lot of it's just the fact that I was able to get it out there in the first place. I mean, this is a 6,000-word story about a track in the middle of nowhere that's been closed for 5+ years that really very few people in the greater racing scope remember besides me. So I got to give a lot of props to Ray for, you know, basically running it to shut me up and, you know, letting me go with it in the first place, because he very easily could have told me nobody wants to read this and, you know, write it, you know, post it on your blog or something. But he didn't. He let me run it, and he let me run it with, you know, a lot of pictures that I'd taken of the track over the years, and I think that really helped drive some things home. And, you know, I'm just very fortunate that, you know, I've had the opportunity to get it out there in the first place.
Yeah, not only are you a Michigan native, Joe, but you attended Central Michigan, so you are a Chippewa. That is the home also of Antonio Brown, NFL wide receiver, or former NFL wide receiver. He just sent a tweet. He's not happy you left him out of the article.
Well, that's, I mean, it's really, I've been spending, we were actually, I never saw him while I was there, but we were at CMU at the same time, and I've spent the last decade chasing his shadow when it comes to being the most famous CMU graduate. You know, I'd like to think that I've gained a little traction on him on this, but I'm not feeling too bad about him if he's feeling shaded here. I think he's got me beat by a wide margin.
Yeah, you got to start doing some musical stuff. You got to start rapping or something.
Well, that mixtape's going to be dropping in June 2020, just as a heads up. So, you know, yeah, you can have me back on for that.
Yeah, you got 30 seconds to plug it at the Eclipse Awards, so
exactly.
Sneak that in there too.
Well, I mean, Eclipse Awards is the same weekend as Pegasus. Maybe I'll show up on stage with Nelly or something.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm looking forward to seeing you down there, buddy. And congratulations again. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Joe Neville's, ladies and gentlemen. Joe, appreciate the visit.
Hey.